A couple of things by way of announcement. In the fellowship hall, there are two things that I want to draw your attention to. First of all, some of you have left some really nice stuff here over the last couple of months, and I think you'd probably like it back, like crock pots and sweaters and nice water glasses and that kind of thing. Take a look in the fellowship hall after the service, and while you're in there, take a look in the corner. We have a number of chairs that the church can no longer use. Frankly, most of them are damaged, but maybe you're looking for something, I don't know, out in the garage. You need a chair for something for some reason. Please take them off our hands. If you can use them at all, that would be helpful. Then in the bulletin, two sign-up things that we're coming right down on. First of all, our couples Valentine's banquet is just 4 weeks away, but it'll be happening on February 11th, and we'd like to know that you're coming. We'd like to know what you'd like to eat. We want to make sure we have a place prepared for you. So there is actually a little QR code in the bulletin that you can use to get more information and sign up for that. There's also now a sign-up sheet, a paper physical sign-up sheet, out in the main lobby, and just let us know that you're coming, and you have two choices for the meal, but you have to tell us before you get here, all right, so that we make sure that we have enough beef and enough chicken, because if you've ever been on the last row of an airplane, remember when airplanes would give you food? Anybody remember that? If you were sitting in row 42, you'd hear the flight attendants coming down, beef or chicken, beef or chicken, beef or chicken, beef or chicken, and they'd get to you in row 42 and go, chicken? Because... it was always the case. So let's not have one of those nights, all right? We're going to give you the beef or chicken option today. And then men, February 24th and 25th is the men's retreat up at the Wilds. You need to sign up for that, and generally spaces at the Wilds fill in pretty quickly. The Wilds is about 3.5 hours from here. We'll be taking the church bus up into the Blue Ridge Mountains. It'll probably still be a little chilly at that time of the year, but it's a beautiful place to go. You'll enjoy the scenery. Most of all, you'll enjoy the time in the Word and fellowship with others at church. If you can have fellowship at a hockey game, you can certainly have fellowship at the Wilds. And we had a good time last night enjoying one another's company and watching hockey. Poor Miss Florence, I thought she was just going to freeze to death. She was so bundled up. I'm glad to see she's unwrapped this morning and a little more comfortable. But we had fun. She and her sisters came, and we enjoyed the day. We're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do today. I hope you've been praying for the service, preparing your own heart. And now we'll prepare ourselves as we worship Him in song.
If you would, take your hymnals and turn with me to page 342 this morning. Page 342, we'll sing Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. And how many of you are thankful that Jesus does save and that you can know Him for sure as your Savior? We'll sing about that this morning. Page 342, Jesus Saves. We'll sing the first, the third, and the last. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus Saves. Jesus saves, spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, bear the news through every land. Climb the seas and cross the waves, on which is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, on the third. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, by His death and endless life. Jesus saves, sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves, sing a triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, and on the last, give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves, this our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
As we look to the Lord in prayer this morning, we have a number of requests that we want to make sure that we remember. Let's particularly be in prayer for the Mitchell family. This is Cindy Taylor's nephew, who has recently passed away. There'll be a funeral for him coming up in Georgia. We're also praying for Pete's family. Virginia Moss passed away this week as well. She'll be having a graveside service on Tuesday. Linda Brooks' brother, George Nance, passed also this week. And so on Monday, there will be a funeral service for him. So let's make sure that we're remembering these families as they grieve the loss of these loved ones. We're continuing to pray also for Diane Hudler. She's had a blood transfusion, and she's feeling a little bit better, but Diane has a number of serious needs. Most importantly is a need for a liver transplant, so let's continue to pray for her. And let's pray for Wayne as well. You know, he's the chief caregiver at this time, and when somebody has that sort of extended illness, we know that that's a challenge not only for those who are ill, but for those who love them and care for them. So let's pray that they'd be encouraged in the Lord. We're continuing to pray for Tracy Cornwell, who has neck issues, ongoing things. We have a lot of folks who are traveling today, some for work, some are doing some family-related things, and then also later in the week, a number of our college kids will be heading back to school, so let's pray for these travel needs as folks go. The White family has COVID. We want to be in prayer for them. Sue Clark's not here today. She's dealing with some kind of a sinus issue. Janine Wills also unable to be here today, so let's pray for them and others who are out. We continue to have a lot of folks dealing with some kind of, we're just calling it a respiratory ailment, whatever it might be, and so let's ask the Lord to undertake for that. Pastor and I and Brother Swante were just at Peace Baptist in Wilmington, and the pastor there said basically his whole church has been affected over the last month or so by all of this. So let's ask the Lord to keep those of us that are healthy, healthy, and to get those that aren't back to that state as quickly as possible. Richard Sexton, we're praying for him, who is under hospice care. Daryl Barentine is now beginning this cancer treatment regimen. Let's pray that it is successful and that it works quickly. Tracy Pinto, also with this immune deficiency problem. We've added Earl Matthews to our prayer list, who has a number of serious physical needs as well as spiritual needs. Both Pat Gibson and Bev Cunningham have endured strokes of recently. Pastor Jerry Taylor is now on our cancer list. And of course, for Lisa Hood and then all of our shut-ins, Tommy and Rita Baskin, for Faye Collins, for Libby, for Darla. Nanette's mom, have we got an update on your mom, Nanette?
She's out of rehab unit now.
Good, out of rehab. So she's been dealing with COVID and blood clotting in her lungs. Stephanie tells me that little baby Harper is now across the 4-pound mark, and so that's good. She continues to gain weight. She's now in a regular crib in the NICU unit, so thank the Lord for answered prayer there. And I'm sure others of you know of other needs, but that's a lot, isn't it? Aren't you glad today we have a God who hears and answers prayer? He invites us to come to the throne of grace. Once in a while, one of you will call me, and the first thing you say to me is, "I hate to bother you. It's my job to be bothered," right? You're not bothering me. And when we can help, we want to help. And so we never have to say to the Lord, "Oh, we hate to bother you." He has told us as our Heavenly Father to come. And he has expressed this interest in our needs. And he has told us, "I have made a way for you to come, even though we don't deserve to be there." And so we appeal this morning to his throne of grace. And so we rejoice in that reality today. Jesus told us, your Heavenly Father knows what you need even before you ask him. And so all of these requests that I've listed this morning, you don't know all of those people. We certainly don't know all of the particulars. I see Dee, it reminds me we need to be praying for Tina as well. But the Lord knows all of that, right? He knows what composes their body. He knows about their health. And so we gratefully go to him this morning. Let's look to him as we ask his blessing on the service and on these needs. Father, we do thank you this morning for who you are. We thank you for the privilege that we have of meeting together in this place with your people. Lord, we recognize this morning that we are needy. Sometimes we have the impression that folks who go to church have it all figured out and their lives are perfect, and we are far from that. Lord, there are spiritual needs in this room. Each one of us has them. We sometimes feel, like the songwriter said, that we're prone to wander, and our hearts are not as close to you as they should be. The things of this world clutter up our mind and our thoughts, and help us this morning, at least for this hour, to set all of that aside and to draw near to you. We pray that as your word is open, that our hearts would be receptive to it. And Father, I pray that you would meet the need of every individual that's here today. Draw those who are far away close. There may be some that have never put their faith and trust in Christ, they have no relationship with you, Lord, I pray this morning that you'd speak to their heart and that some might come to know Jesus. We pray for those who are away from us this morning, so many on this list who are ill and suffering and in pain. Many are grieving the loss of a loved one. Lord, you know all of these things. You sent your son to this world and he endured physical pain. He endured fatigue. He endured the weaknesses of the flesh. He knew what it was to struggle and suffer as we do. Yet in all of that, he was without sin. And so we're grateful that we have a high priest who knows the feelings of our infirmities. And so, Lord, this morning we would ask that you'd undertake for every one of these circumstances. Bring health where that's needed. May your grace be evident where we need to feel your presence. And, Lord, for this service this morning now, we pray most of all that the name of our Lord Jesus would be exalted and that he would draw men to himself as he's promised to do. We pray all of this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Again and turn with me to page 344. The choir just sang about our wonderful Savior and how we do have a wonderful Savior and serve a wonderful Savior, and when we trust Christ as our Savior, he becomes our hope, he becomes our power, he becomes our victory. And so we're going to sing My Hope is in the Lord this morning, page 344 in your hymnals. And when you find your place, go ahead and stand with me and we'll sing all four verses of this hymn. My hope is in the Lord.
Mine.
last.
His grace has blended all, 'tis mine but to believe and recognize his work of love and Christ receive.
Have a little change of our normal order this morning. You may have noticed in your bulletin, or you may have remembered from our last business meeting, that at the end of this month, we're going to be assisting a new Spanish congregation that's going to start meeting primarily on Sundays down in our gym. And the pastor of that group is with us this morning, and Gabriel and I met more years ago than probably either one of us wants to admit. I met Gabriel at the Bible Broadcasting Network. In fact, I hired him to come to Charlotte and to work at the Bible Broadcasting Network. And not long after that, he started his first church, Spanish church congregation here in the area, starting a Spanish ministry over at Southside. And since that time, he has been involved in planting a number of Spanish works around the Charlotte area. And so when they approached us about finding a place to use so that they could have a facility here in the Fort Mill, Rock Hill area, and speaking with Pastor about it, we were happy to be able to do that, and you voted a couple of weeks ago to do that. But we thought it would be good for you to have a chance to meet Gabriel. So, brother, if you will come, por favor. And I told him he was going to just greet the congregation. He's not going to preach. No vas a predicar. Ni un mensaje de 30 minutos. He's going to give us a few words, and when he said in English, I said, yes, in English, because that's what we speak here. So, but I did tell him if he gets into trouble that I'll jump in. So, Gabriel, come and introduce your wife, Maria.
Yes, we do.
Hola, amigos.
Hello, friends.
Okay. This is my dear wife, Maria, and we are involved in Spanish ministry. First of all, in BBM for 26 years, and also working with four different churches. This is the number five. We're going to start here, and we are here to say thank you for give us the opportunity to use the facilities, and that way we can preach the gospel to many people in this area. I knew Brother Jim Parrish since 1998, because one Sunday we went to Chonis. You remember Chonis?
Yeah.
No more, but we were there with my wife and family eating lunch. And he and his family were in the other table. I was waiting for my ticket to pay, and the waitress say, no, it's already paid. I say, wow, this is a miracle. And then I asked the lady who did it, and then she told me, and there was Brother Jim. Oh, I was running to him a hug, you know. I say thank you, because he paid for our food. But we never forgot that. Maybe we can repeat it.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I knew Bob Reed and Betty Ann since 1997, when we came to visit BBN, and he picked me up in the airport to come to BBN. In the way to BBN, he took me us to a restaurant. It was Cracker Barrel. Never in my life I was in Cracker Barrel. It was beautiful. It's my favorite restaurant since that time to now. Thank you, Bob. Maybe we can repeat it.
We have.
Okay. So, God called us to preach the gospel. Right now, I'm pastor in Charlotte, And from here, I got to go fast because we started at 1 p.m., the service over there. And also Thursday, 7 p.m. Here, I'm going to preach Wednesday, 7, and also Sundays at the same time for you here and in the evening. That means I'm going to be busy going to Charlotte, come to Rock Hill, you know, pray for us. We need strength from God and wisdom to do our job. Amen. I think you understand everything, right? Yes. Okay, gracias, amigos.
We're going to sing one more song this morning. It is page 345 in your hymnals. We're just going to sing the first and last of this hymn. It's titled No Other Name, page 345. And when you find your place, go ahead and stand with me as we sing No Other Name Is Given. Seated. I'll ask JJ and Kayla and my brother to come, and this is their last Sunday before going back to Pensacola, and we've enjoyed having them home for Christmas break, and we're going to sing a song entitled By Faith, and then after that, Pastor will come with a message.
Kayla's playing, and Madison's back there beside her mom. They'll all be traveling back to Pensacola. Pray for them.
We see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lives of those who prove His faithfulness, who walk by faith and not by sight.
By faith our fathers roamed the earth, with the power of His promise in their hearts, of a holy city built by God's own hand, a place where peace and justice reign.
We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight.
By faith the prophet saw a day,
by faith,
when the longed for Messiah would appear.
With the power to break the chains of sin and death, and rise triumphant from the grave.
By faith
the church was called to
go,
in the power of the Spirit to the lost, to deliver
deliver captives and to preach good news
in every corner of the earth.
We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done.
We'll walk by faith
and not by sight. By faith this mountain shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know with Christ all things are possible for all who call upon His name. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith.
We'll walk by faith.
Thank you all very much. We're going to miss these college students when they go back to school. We pray they have a safe trip. It's about a, 10-hour drive or something like that from here to Pensacola?
8.5, 9 hours.
Young people can drive it faster. Us old folks have to make a few pit stops along the way, you know, takes up time. Our sign out front, Nathan and Jacob, I guess, put that up this week and changed what was on there for a little while. What does the Bible say? Think about that a moment. We're still in the beginning of a new year. This is still January, January the 15th. What does the Bible say for us for this year? Today, we should get our mind focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, and that will guide our steps. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So if we are saved and we are seeking to live for the Lord, He'll guide our steps. And we desperately need that in a world with all the pitfalls and troubles and distractions and issues that we have to face. Just living life is not easy. You face hills and valleys throughout your lifetime. Our theme for this year is sort of like one of the pastors told me, Jesus and me in 2023. That's a good thought, because that's what we need to keep our focus upon. Turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah 9 and verse number 6. The Bible says much about our Savior. Before He was born, He was given His name. His name would be Jesus, for He would save His people from their sins. Jesus, what a wonderful name. He is descended from Abraham and from David, who was the king. He came through the tribe of Judah. Therefore, He is a rightful heir to the throne to be the king of the Jews. Isaiah made it clear that He would not only be the Messiah to the Jews, He would be a light to the Gentiles. And Jesus is the best friend we could possibly have, a friend to sinners like you and me. We can keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and as Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He will bless us and protect us and guide us. Now, the biggest problem that I face in my Christian life is this: God doesn't do things on my timetable. When I want something, I want it right now. When I want God to help me, I want it to be instant. Occasionally that happens. God knows what is best. When I turned that lawnmower over the other day, going up that gate, and I got up about like that, and that thing started coming over, I put out a quick prayer like Peter sinking in the waves. Lord, help me. And I hit the ground with that thing on top of me. And I'm here today. I'm not all broke up. I got a few aches and pains to remind me, stupid, don't do that again. We learn from our troubles and our trials, but in that respect, I believe with all my heart, God helped me not to break my neck or break my back or break. I got a sore rib, but I could have broke it and penetrated the lung very easily with that kind of a lick. And God helped me. But most of the time when I pray, it takes time to wait on the Lord. But if you're waiting on the Lord, He can renew your strength like eagle's wings. And you can have the grace you need to go through what you're going through. We saw last week in 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is a prophecy 740 years prior to the birth of our Lord and Savior about him and the names he would be called. What does the Bible say about Jesus? It says a lot, but it doesn't all speak the name Jesus. There are many names by which he is called. In chapter 7, the Bible says through the virgin birth, Christ would be born, and his name would be called Emmanuel, which interpreted means God with us. God came to dwell with man, and God took on flesh that he could be the man that would die on the cross and pay for our sins and provide eternal life for us. When John saw him in the book of Revelation chapter 1, he fell at his feet. He saw the resurrected, glorified Lord of glory who said he was Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And he said to him, "Fear not. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." Our Lord is wonderful. Our Lord has provided for us. Our Lord deserves our faith and our walk with him in the light to be, to the best of our ability, a righteous one as children of God. Today we're going to face a lot of decisions in this world. Our world has rapidly changed in the last short period of time, 30, 40 years. There have been great changes, vast changes, that have affected families and many times in very drastic ways. But Isaiah says not only is his name wonderful, but his name is Counselor. Counselor. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a counselor, but you've gotten counsel or advice from someone probably who has helped you. You've probably also had advice from someone that you knew right away, that's not good advice. That's not what I'm going to do. And the scripture warns us about that. First of all, these five names are given to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. And he reminds us in all the decisions that we make in life, we have a counselor we can go to. When you have a question, when you have a wonder, when you have a, I don't know which way to turn, you can go to Jesus who will counsel you. He'll guide you to his word. His spirit will enlighten passages of scripture that will help you. I've heard of preachers turning the Bible and just pointing their finger, you know. I heard one preacher say that the other day, and he said when he looked down at what he was looking at, it was where Judas went out and hanged himself. That won't always work. You know, maybe God in his grace would do something for you like that. But I think it's good to get into the Word and read long passages of Scripture when you're looking for answers from the Lord, to get His counsel on what you need to do. And we make so many decisions, and many of them are long range in the effects and how they affect our family. Choosing careers and making decisions to do something that is a hardship on a family takes work and the grace of God to keep that from tearing up a household and destroying a marriage. So we need counsel when we do that sort of thing. How many times have you ever done something and then you just walking along one day, riding along in the car, and you say, I wish I hadn't done that. I made a bad decision. The long-range effects have come back to haunt me. I remember a story, I believe it was part of Brazil, where there was a village people that were having a hard time making it with, they relied so much on a small river that had small fish. It'd be like what we call bream in our area up here. And they lived off those. They would go into the river and they would catch them with little nets and with a hook, and they would survive off eating those fish. Somebody got the bright idea we could stock that river with bigger fish, and that would help these people so much. And they just thought that was a great decision. So they put a very large perch into that river, and it ate the bream that they'd been eating all that time. And then they learned something. They could catch those big perch, and it provided a big meal. But those small fish were eating all of the mosquito larvae that was in the river. And when they were reduced in their population, the mosquito population grew drastically. And it began to carry disease of all kinds that come from mosquitoes in a jungle-type atmosphere. And somebody said, you know, we didn't make a good decision after all. Our nation and our government makes decisions like that all the time, that they don't think about the long-range effect of what they are doing. We need to be careful we don't make decisions like that by seeking the Lord's counsel and waiting on the Lord to guide us in the right answer. We need wisdom that comes from God. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if we lack wisdom, let us ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God will guide us through the Word, the teaching of the Bible. His Word and His Spirit can enlighten us into understanding passages of Scripture that affect our decisions that we're needing to make. I can't tell you how many times newer people have come to the church, hadn't been here very long, and at some point we have a conversation and they start telling me about how they're enjoying it, they're learning the Bible. And then secondly, they said, my wife and I have been thinking about this, we've been talking about it, asking questions, and said, you preached on that this week. I didn't know what they needed to know, but God knew what they needed to know. And God guides us in the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Where do people turn when they need advice or counsel, as we would call it? Back in the Psalms, in Psalm 73 in verse 24, the psalmist Asaph said, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. He knew that the Lord would guide him with his counsel. Every one of us sitting here could probably think about sometime we got bad advice. Somebody may have given us bad advice intentionally because they wanted to take advantage of us, and they used their advice to do that. We all ask advice from neighbors and co-workers and the barber and the bartender. I don't go to a barber anymore. Since Patty cut my comb over off many years ago, I cut my own hair now. You know, at the worst, I get my wife to trim around my ears a little bit or something, you know, to get those long hairs that my clippers don't seem to take off. But I can get advice from my wife. It'd be all right. She's a good counselor. She knows what I have need of. co-workers, bartenders. That's where a lot of people get advice, and I can tell you that's the wrong place to get advice, the wrong place to be. Fortune tellers look at your palm and tell you from cards or the horoscope what's good for you and bad. You better rely on the Word of God instead of that kind of thing, or you're going to get yourself in trouble. Psychologist, counselors, professional, better be sure they are a Christian and know the Word of God and are going to give you advice based on what the Bible teaches, not on what you want to hear, which is a sad thing that many in the ministry do today, and they draw vast crowds with it by telling people what they want to hear. I'm not going to tell you how bad you are today. That's for the Holy Spirit to do. But I'm also not going to tickle your ears by telling you how good and wonderful you are today. We are all sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. And God loves you, I can tell you that. I love you, I can tell you that. I want to help you, I can tell you that. And I'm asking God to guide me as I speak so I will help His people. Because we need help. We need help from God. In John 6:54, Jesus was speaking to all of His people and His disciples, and He taught them about the beginning of the thought of communion or the Lord's table. He said to them, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God." And many heard that and couldn't understand it, and they turned away from Him. Jesus said to His disciples, "Will ye also turn away?" And Peter said in John 6:68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Friends, in 2023, never turn away from the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Him for counsel. Look in His Word and you'll find answers that you need for the tough decisions you've got to make in life. If we have a need, we need to pray. James said, "You have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss." I remember Lyle and Diane used to work in Lyle's father's fish camp. And Joy and I would go to see them, and we'd go over to the fish camp. And Lyle was picking at me one time. He sent this little girl that was being a waitress, sent her over to my table and said, "Are you a preacher?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Will you pray for me to win the lottery?" And I said, "No." She said, "That's what he told me you'd say." And I sort of tried to explain to her just a little bit about prayer and about asking the Lord for things and keeping our prayers within His will. If we have a need, we should pray. And we should remember not to avoid praying for any reason. With thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. He loves us. He cares for us. He knows what we have need of even before we ask. And yet He's taught us to ask of Him. Many times when we ask, we don't have the patience to wait for what the Lord wants to give us advice about. We're in a hurry. We're impatient. You remember Abraham and Sarah? They had a promise that God was going to give them a miraculous birth of a son in their old age. And they got tired of waiting. They were impatient. And they cooked up a scheme for Abraham to lay with the handmaid, the Egyptian girl, and raise up a child, and that would be their son. That wasn't God's plan at all. And all those Arab nations that have hated the Jews was a result of Abraham and Sarah's impatience in raising up Ishmael. God gave them Isaac through the birth in the way that He had promised. Sarah and Abraham had a son that became the Jewish nation of people. Some folks give advice like this: "Just listen to your heart, honey." Well, I would, but Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Only the Lord can try the reins and know what the heart will do. One thing about the heart, Proverbs 25 says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. We often know what we ought to do, but it takes something to draw it out of us, to get us to make that step of faith, to do what we know we need to do. Secondly, the Bible tells us not to follow the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1 and verse number 1. Blessed or happy is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If we don't get counsel from the right person, we can get ourselves in trouble. Do you remember a lady who started this whole thing? Her name was Eve. Her husband's name was Adam. She got counsel from the serpent, which was Satan incarnate. And she followed his advice, and her husband followed her, and they sinned against God and disobeyed him and plunged all the human race into having a sinful nature from the time we're born. She followed the wrong advice, and he was deceptive and very wise. I'm not kicking Eve, because if I was there, I'd have probably made the decision without the devil. I thought that fruit was good to look at and a tree to make me wise. I probably would have took it anyway, even though God said, do not eat of that tree. How many times do we disobey when we know that it's the wrong thing to do? We all have flesh, human body. Our flesh is prideful. It's selfish. It does not have the understanding that God has. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God knows what is best. He cares for us, and he knows what's best for us. So we need to get his counsel and his advice when we're going to do something. Your friends will often tell you what you want to hear. They'll say, you deserve this. Most of them won't think about what would Jesus do. What does the Bible say? But we better think about that, or we're going to get ourselves in trouble. One writer wrote in a book I was reading, not every person is qualified to give advice. Even if you go to a professional person, as I mentioned, you better be sure they know the Word of God and are going to give you advice from the Bible and not give you bad advice. I knew a man who was a pastor of a church, small church, and he and his wife advertised in the newspaper that they got master's degrees in counseling, and they were open for business. And one day he called me on the phone and he said, Dr. Parrish, how do you write prescriptions for medicines for the people that you counsel with? I kind of chuckled and I said, I'm not that kind of counselor, my friend. I'm a biblical counselor. I tell people what the Bible says. And I said, the only way you can write a prescription, you got to go to medical school and become an MD, and then you'll have the right to write a prescription for something. I assume he'd counsel with somebody that wanted some kind of medication to help them with their troubles and their problems. And he thought because he'd got one of those mail order master's degrees that he could give that, you know, and he was giving bad advice to people with advertising that. Jesus Christ is qualified to be your counselor. In Colossians 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Jesus Christ, in his person. In that passage in Colossians 2, he warns the believers to beware lest any man spoil you or take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit. There are crooked preachers and crooked people who are trying to sell something. I hear all the time about these people that are investment counselors who come to find out they've been bilking people out of tons of money and don't have any investments at all for those people. I had a preacher friend that he was going to get rich quick. You know, he found a guy that was going to pay him 15% interest guaranteed, and he gave him all of his retirement account and all. He was telling everybody, you need to get in on this, you know. And about 3 months later, he realized the guy was gone, wasn't in town anymore, and his money was gone, and what he was planning to retire on was gone right along with that fella. You got to be careful who you take advice from. Jesus not only is qualified because he's God, he's qualified because he took on flesh and lived as a man. Hebrews tells us he experienced everything that we experience, yet without sin. Jesus went through the hardships of life. He knows what you are going through. He knows how to care for you. He knows because he's qualified. He has the experience to help us. You talk to somebody who's just made a trip. We went to Wilmington the other day, and Brother Bob has a GPS, and he's been there before, and I've been there before. And so when we went down a certain road, we kind of knew that's the right road because we've been there before, but we couldn't have remembered before we got there, you know, which road you turn on and that sort of thing. So if you know somebody just went on a trip there, you'd ask them, how do you get there and which roads do you take? And you can get good advice like that so you don't get lost. Because if you always follow a GPS, sooner or later that thing will lead you somewhere you weren't supposed to be going. It'll get you to a town that's got a similar name. Brother Swante said, do you know there are two Greenvilles? One in South Carolina, one in North Carolina. If you aren't careful, you'll be headed toward the wrong one using your GPS. It can happen. But God's way is best for us because on top of being qualified as God, qualified as man who experienced everything, he loves us. If somebody really loves you, they're not going to purposely give you bad advice. They're going to give you good counsel. It may not be what you want to hear at the moment, but because they love you, they're trying to help you and guide you. It's just important now that we are patient. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for his own. He also prays for us. He is our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Thirdly, Jesus counsels us through his word. If you want to turn there in Psalm 119, I'm going to read a few passages in there and it's good for you to know where they come from, but I'll turn there and read them. If you don't want to turn, you don't have to. Psalm 119, beginning with verse number 24. The psalmist said, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The word of God is his counsel. I want you to look at Psalm 119, verse 98. I love this passage of scripture. Psalmist said he loved God's law. He meditated on it all day. Verse 98, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Having understanding through the scriptures can make you wiser than teachers, make you wiser than older people who've gone through experiences of life. Because if you follow the scriptures and they're not following the scriptures, then you're going to be wiser than they are with your results. He also guides us by his Spirit. As we pray and then read the word, the Holy Spirit can enlighten the word of God to us. There are things you read sometimes when you have something on your mind that God couldn't make it any clearer if he put it in bold letters. That's my answer right there. That's what I needed to hear. The Holy Spirit guided you to that passage to have that understanding. Paul sought to go preach, and the Holy Spirit forbade him to go there. So he decided, okay, if I can't go there, I'll go over here. But the Spirit suffered him not, didn't allow him. So then he prayed and he went to bed, and a vision came to him of a man of Macedonia calling out, "Come to Macedonia and help us." And immediately he knew that was of the Lord. And so they went to Macedonia. Paul, the disciple of the Lord, the one who wrote most of the New Testament books of the Bible, was going to make some bad choices in where he was going to go. But the Lord intervened and guided him to the right place. God can guide you through circumstance sometimes. He said if a man has an ox in a ditch, he's got to get it out. And we have to do certain things at times that we need. Circumstance can help us. Jesus said to his disciples, "I must needs go through Samaria." So they went through Samaria because that's what the Lord said to do. They had no idea why he was going there. And Jesus talked to the woman at the well, and she put her faith in Jesus, went back into town, told all of her neighbors. They all came out, and many of them were saved as a result of them going through Samaria. You may go somewhere one day and because of it, lead someone to Christ. It could be in a hospital room. It could be in an awkward circumstance like your car broke down. You're in a garage sitting around waiting for it to get fixed. And you got an audience of people to talk to who are there for the same reason you are. God uses people. Proverbs teaches us a friend loves at all times. And a friend sharpens our counsel and our countenance. Teachers, pastors, dedicated Christian workers, deacons, people who are spiritual have had influence in your life to give you good advice. And if we don't take good advice, God uses correction to get us back on the right road. We have to learn to obey and wait on the Lord. And if we do that, God will guide us and direct us so that we can rejoice. He's watching over us from the beginning of the year to the ending of the year. And in this new year, let's keep our mind on Jesus, who's wonderful, who's our counselor. And let's ask of him to guide us in our decisions. We'll be happy that we did. Father, thank you for these folks being here today. Thank you for their faithfulness. It's great to see Brother Guzman and have he and his wife here with us today. And we ask you to bless them in the start of a new church. Help our church to be a helper, come alongside. And also, Lord, for all your folks here, give them your grace as we travel home today with safety and protection. Now, Lord, we are your people. We are dependent upon you. We have many of our folks that have health needs, and we are lifting them to you in prayer and asking for your help and intervention. We pray that you'll respond to our heart's desire in praying for our loved ones. These that have passed away, we ask for your comfort and peace for their families and travel mercy for those going back and forth. Now bless at this time as we pause for a moment to hear a verse of an invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.